For some moments the old man waited patiently. Then the unwonted stillness of the house excited his curiosity, and without moving from the bed, he cautiously opened the door with his disengaged hand and looked into the main room. To his infinite surprise, it was dark and deserted. But even then a smoldering log on the hearth broke, and by the upspringing blaze he saw the figure of Dick Bullen sitting by the dying embers.
"Hello!"
Dick started, rose, and came toward him.
"Where's the boys?" said the old man. "Going up the canyon on a little pasture. They're coming back for me in a minute. I'm waiting round for 'em. What are you staring at, old man?" he added with a forced laugh. "Now don't you get up," he continued as the old man made a movement to release his sleeve from Johnny's hand. "Don't you mind your manners. Just sit where you be. I'm gone in a jiffy. Dar, that's them now."
There was a low tap at the door. Dick Bullen opened it quickly, nodded good night to his host, and disappeared. The old man would have followed him, but for the hand that still unconsciously grabbed his sleeve. He could have easily disengaged it. It was small, weak, and emaciated. But perhaps because it was small, weak, and emaciated, he changed his mind, and drawing his chair closer to the bed, rested his head upon it. The room flickered and faded before his eyes and left him asleep. Meantime, Dick Bullen, closing the door, confronted his companions.
"Are you ready?" said Staples.
"Ready," said Dick.
"What's the time?"
"Past 12, was the reply.
"Can you make it?"
"It's 9 50 miles a round trip hither and yon."
"I reckon," returned Dick shortly.
"Whar's the mare?"
"Bill and Jack's holding her at the crossing."
"Let 'em hold on a minute longer," said Dick.
He turned and re-entered the house softly. By the light of the guttering candle and dying fire, he saw that the door of the little room was open. The old man had fallen back in his chair, snoring. Beside him on a narrow wooden bedstead lay Johnny, muffled tightly in a blanket that hid all save a strip of forehead and a few curls damp with perspiration. Dick Bullen made a step forward, hesitated, and with a sudden resolution he parted his huge mustaches with both hands and stooped over the sleeping boy. But even as he did so, a mischievous blast swooped down the chimney, rekindled the hearth, and lit up the room with a shameless glow from which Dick fled in bashful terror. His companions were already waiting for him at the crossing. Two of them were struggling in the darkness with some strange, misshapen bulk, which, as Dick came nearer, took the semblance of a great yellow horse. It was the mare. From her Roman nose to her rising haunches, from her arched spine hidden by the stiff mochilas of a Mexican saddle to her thick, straight, bony legs, there was not a line of equine grace. In her half-blind but wholly vicious white eyes, in her protruding underlip, in her monstrous color, there is nothing but ugliness and vice.
"Now then," said Staples, "stand clear of your heels, boys, and up with you. Ready!"
There was a leap, a scrambling struggle, a bound, a wild retreat of the crowd, a circle of flying hooves, two springless leaps that jarred the earth, a rapid play and jingle of spurs, a plunge, and then the voice of Dick somewhere in the darkness,
"All right! Don't hold her in downhill. We'll be at the ford at 5. Get along, hoopah, moolah, go!"
A splash, a spark struck from the ledge in the road, a clatter in the rocky cut beyond, and Dick was gone. It was 1 o'clock, and yet he had only gained Rattlesnake Hill, for in that time Jovita had rehearsed to him all her imperfections and practiced all her vices. Thrice had she stumbled. Twice had she thrown up her Roman nose in a straight line with the reins, and, resisting bit and spur, struck out madly across country. Twice she had reared and rearing fallen backward, and twice had the agile Dick, unharmed, regained his seat before she found her vicious legs again. And a mile beyond them, at the foot of a long hill, was Rattlesnake Creek. Dick knew that there was the crucial test of his ability to perform his enterprise, set his teeth grimly, put his knees well into her flanks. In another moment, as it seemed to Dick, she was splashing on the overflowed banks of Rattlesnake Creek. As Dick expected, the momentum she had acquired carried her beyond the point of balking, and holding her well together for a mighty leap, they dashed in the middle of the swiftly flowing current. A few moments of kicking, wading, and swimming, and Dick drew a long breath on the opposite bank. The road from Rattlesnake Creek to Red Mountain was tolerably level. Either the plunge in Rattlesnake Creek had dampened her baleful fire, or the art which led to it had shown her the superior wickedness of her rider, for Jovita no longer wasted her surplus energy in wanton conceits. Once she bucked, but it was from force of habit. Once she shied, but it was from a newly freshly painted meeting house at the crossing of the county road. Hollows, ditches, gravelly deposits, patches of freshly springing grasses flew from beneath her rattling hooves. She began to smell unpleasantly. Once or twice she coughed slightly, but there was no abatement of her strength or speed. By 2 o'clock he had passed Red Mountain and begun the descent to the plain. 10 minutes later the driver of the fast pioneer coach was overtaken and passed by a man on a pinto hoss, an event sufficiently notable for remark. At 2:30, Dick rose in his stirrups with a great shout. Stars were glittering through the rifted clouds, and beyond him, out of the plain, rose 2 spires, a flagstaff and a straggling line of black objects. Dick jingled his spurs and swung his riata. Jovita bounded forward, and in another moment they swept into Tuttleville and drew up before the wooden piazza of the Hotel of All Nations. What transpired that night at Tuttleville is not strictly a part of this record. Briefly, I may state, however, that after Jovita had been handed over to a sleepy ostler, whom she at once kicked into unpleasant consciousness, Dick sallied out with the barkeeper for a tour of the sleeping town. Lights still gleamed from a few saloons and gambling houses, but avoiding these, they stopped before several closed shops, and by persistent tapping and judicious outcry roused their proprietors from their beds, and made them unbar the doors of their magazines and expose their wares. Sometimes they were met by curses, but oftener by interest and some concern in their needs, and the interview was invariably concluded by a drink. It was 3 o'clock before this pleasantry was given over, and with a small waterproof bag of India rubber strapped on his shoulder, Dick returned to the hotel. And then he sprang to the saddle and dashed down the lonely street and out into the lonelier plain, where presently the lights, the black line of houses, the spires, and the flagstaff sank into the earth behind him again and were lost in the distance.